It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, ladies, Connie Stanfill has joined us at the table with today's lesson. Hello, Connie.
Hello. We're going to finish up Genesis chapter 31 because we need to find out what happened when Laban and Jacob met up again.
It's an exciting story. We're going to pick it up right here in verse 26, ladies. It goes like this. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me so that I might have sent you away with mirth and songs, with tambourine and lyre? And why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and my daughters farewell? Now you have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' And now you have gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. Anyone with whom you find your gods shall not live. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what I have that is yours and take it." Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of two female servants, but he did not find them. And then he went out to Leah's tent and entered Rachel's. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. Laban felt all about the tent but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the way of women is upon me." So he searched, but he did not find the household gods.
So here we have Laban, and we find out what really matters to him. He is asking Jacob many, many questions, and you get the sense that he thinks he owns everything that Jacob has, including the children and the prosperous things. But really, he does say, "Why did you flee? And why did you not permit me to kiss my children?" And he tells Jacob he's been foolish. And then he also says something quite ominous. He says, "It is in my power to do you harm." But then again, "But God, your God, appeared to me and told me not to do that." And so then he goes on, and we find out perhaps what matters most to him at all, and that's those household gods. He said, "Why did you steal my household gods?" And of course, Jacob knows nothing about this. He doesn't know that Rachel had taken them, and so he denies any thought about it, and he actually pronounces a curse on anyone who has those gods, because he says in verse 32, "Anyone with whom you find your gods shall not live." And keep that in mind, because as we come later on in Genesis, we're going to find that Rachel actually dies younger than the rest of the family. And it's possible this is related to this incident. But anyway, we find then Laban, I think, is showing his greed and what's important to him, because he himself goes through everyone's tent and feels all the household goods looking for these gods, which are so important to him. And we also find that Rachel, his daughter, has learned well from her father, because she knows how to hide things and to deceive. She sits on the camel's saddle and tells her father she can't get up because of the way of women is with her at this time. And so he doesn't search her camel's saddlebag.
Well, why don't we pick up the story in verse 36? Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. Jacob said to Laban, "What is my offense, and what is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? For you have felt through all my goods. What have you found of all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, and I have not eaten the rams of your flocks. What was torn by wild beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. From my hand you required it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was by day, the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I have served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night."
Here we have quite a speech of Jacob, and he's just acknowledging what has been true over the past 20 years about Laban and his trickery and how Jacob actually has been upright in his dealings with Laban. But he also acknowledges, again, it's only God who has preserved him through this. And he calls God the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. And so, again, we have that sense of God being awe-inspiring. And he is one to be feared. And Jacob is coming to understand this. And even Laban himself is fearing this God. And so we find that we're going to need to understand that these ideas as we go forward, because Laban and Jacob are going to come to a kind of reconciliation of sorts. But it's based really on fear rather than love.
Yes. Picking it up in 43, then Laban answered and said to Jacob, "The daughters are my daughters, the children are my children, the flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine. But what can I do this day for these my daughters, or for their children whom they have borne? Come now, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his kinsmen, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jegar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me today." Therefore, he named it Galeed and Mizpah, for he said, "The Lord watch between you and me when we are out of one another's sight. If you oppress my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters, although no one is with us, see, God is witness between you and me." Then Laban said to Jacob, "See this heap and the pillar which I have set between you and me. This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, and you will not pass over this heap and pillar to me to do harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac, and Jacob offered a sacrifice in the hill country and called his kinsmen to eat bread. They ate bread and spent the night in the hill country. Early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned home.
Yes, and so here we find Laban and Jacob making a covenant, and basically it's to leave each other alone. Mm-hmm. This boundary, this watchtower, this heap of stones, the witness, is going to be the boundary line between them, and neither one is going to cross over into the other's territory and harm the other one. And also Laban is concerned about his daughters. Part of the covenant is that Jacob will take good care of the daughters and not marry more wives. But interestingly, as we go back through this, just notice in those first verses, Laban always says, "These are my daughters, my flocks, my everything his is his." And even says, "These are my witnesses and my heap of stones," and Jacob's the one who made them. So again, we see Laban's character very clearly. We also see that Jacob swears or makes a covenant by the fear of Isaac, by the God of Abraham. Well, Laban is doing it by the God of Nahor. He's doing it by the pagan gods. And so God is working in and through this to protect Jacob, to have him reconcile of sorts with Laban so that they can part peacefully and they aren't going to disturb one another. But truly, this is the end of an era for Jacob, because he will never return there and his family will never return there. They are done with the pagan culture of Padam Aram and Laban and his family. They are going on to make their own family in the promised land following the Lord. I think as women, what we could consider is how God is working in and through the conflict of relationships to teach Jacob things. And also, hopefully, we can see God might work through difficult relationships for us and teach us things also. So as we wrap up today in Genesis, just reflect on God's faithfulness and what he might be teaching each one of us. But please go to the notes that are on naomistable.com and check it out.